Listen to Jesus' prayer to the Father towards the end of his life. I pray for those who believe in me, us, through your word, that they may all be one. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us. Why? So that the world may believe that you have sent me. Did you know that through our unity, loving one another, working out problems in a way that honors God and builds biblical character, it draws people to God?
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Everything in life multiplies in value when there are healthy relationships. And that's why Jesus said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Today, Pastor Wayne will show us how we can cultivate and protect healthy relationships in a way that invites the blessings of God. But we have a few extra minutes today, so join us for a time of worship.
Is to take a hold of the person's hand next to you on either side. We come together as the Hawaiian word is ohana, as a group of people that are brought together by God, and we do life together. We can't make each other immune from the setbacks, but we can walk with each other through them. There's a word that we say to one another often. It's the word aloha. It's a common word. It means it's a greeting, it's a goodbye, but it's more than that. The etymology of that word, aloha, alo, means to be in the presence of, ha, is for breath or life. So they use that word. But putting them together, when we greet one another, it's like we're saying, we commend you to be in the presence of the one who gives life. And when the missionaries came and told them about the Lord who is the God of life, and he brings life, he gives life, even from death he brings life, then aloha started to become a word with such greater meaning. And we commend you, we usher you into the presence of the life giver. And so as you say that to one another, it has a lot of meaning. It's a blessing. It's more than a greeting. It's a blessing. We're going to pray. Let's pray. Eko ma ko ma ko I loko o kalani. E ia no au e Yesu e. E na na ulu ulu mai. Lord, we thank you for being our Heavenly Father. We're grateful for that. And Lord, we ask that your presence or your eyes would be upon us in this place, Lord Jesus. May your presence give life. Lord, where there is hurt, bring healing. Where there is sickness, bring health. Where there is an emotional darkness, bring light. Where there is hopelessness, bring hope. And Lord, we know that you're the one that invited us here. It's not just a theme of a service or a friend or a family. Ultimately, it will have been you that invited us here. And you would not invite us to a place wherein you don't have something very special for us. You invited us, didn't you, Lord? You use a family friend or a member, but it's you. Because you said, no man can come unto me unless the Father draws him. And so we respond to you. And through all the dances and through all of the singing, we're going to listen for your voice speaking to us words of life. Now, Lord, would you bless the one on our left and the one on our right? Bind us together as a family so that we can walk together and do life with each other. Thank you for that. And now, Lord, let your love, your aloha, be strong among us. Your presence, let it be strong here as we greet one another. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ, we pray and we each say, amen and amen and amen. Would you turn to two or three people, give them a handshake and a hug, and say, welcome, welcome, and aloha.
Here now is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, The Key to Everything.
So today we're going to talk about the three rewards of healthy relationships. The three rewards of healthy relationships. And here it is. Are you ready? Number one, write down someplace that the value, everything in life multiplies in value with healthy relationships. Healthy relationships determine the value of life. You can be a multimillionaire, but if your relationships are poor, nothing is worth much. On the other hand, you can be a farmer with 12 kids and not have much, but life is so valuable. Why? Because of healthy relationships. Everything values rise and fall, not on the basis of the stock market or your bank account or cryptocurrency or whatever. It's going to be based on the health of your relationships. Everything in life rises and falls on healthy relationships. You know as well as I, if there's toxic relationships, everything gets devalued in life. You don't want anything anymore. You're done. Even the secular world or nature tells us about that, the importance of healthy relationships. Listen to this. This is from the Mental Health Foundation magazine. It reports this. Recent studies have found that negative social interactions and relationships, especially with partners or spouses at work, increase the risk of depression, increases the risk of anxiety, and even suicidal thoughts. It affects us when there's bad relationships. Study at Michigan State says negative relationships causes stress and strain on the body and may even increase the risk of mental health problems, chronic disease, and may even cause early death rates. Did you know that God is saying one of the rewards of healthy relationships, you feel better. You think better, you see better, you act better, your food tastes better, everything gets better with healthy relationships. Isn't that right? Healthy relationships are absolutely crucial. I was driving past a town in old Hawaii, a place called Curtis Town, and I noticed it must be a $2 million estate, maybe three. Beautiful estate over about an acre. Beautiful stucco wall that was now overgrown, falling apart, becoming decadent. It was abandoned. The door frames were unfinished. Everything was peeling and all the glass was shattered. It was just abandoned for about 10 years, maybe 12 or 15 years. I don't know, but it was just overgrown. And I talked to a real estate person. I said, what happened? This was a beautiful estate. What's going on? This is what he said. Well, a very wealthy man was building that, but then both of his kids went into drugs. One went into crime in a kind of a syndicate of crime. He's now serving time in the federal pen. The daughter that went into drugs is now an addict, and then his wife left him. And at that point, he said, what's the use? And he quit building and left, abandoned it. You see, everything rises and falls in value based on healthy relationships or broken relationships. I was with another man, multimillionaire, driving this beautiful car towards this gorgeous house on the river. His wife had left him, his family had abandoned him, and he turned to me and he said, Wayne, I've gone everywhere I wanted to go. I've got everything I've ever wanted to get. I've fulfilled every dream that I've ever dreamed of. He said, but I'll give all of that up if I could just get my family back. You see, everything that he had accomplished was reduced in value because of poor relationships. And that's why the reward is this: everything in life multiplies in value with healthy relationships, whether healthy or toxic. And that's why I say to young ladies, make sure that you're careful in marrying. Don't just go with the first guy that says you're pretty or I love you. Listen, there's got to be three people in your marriage: God, you, and your spouse. And if it's like a triangle, the closer your spouse and the closer you get to God, the closer you get to each other. And that becomes the basis of a healthy relationship. Because once that splits, that goes bad, and God's out of the picture, you have nothing left. The value of everything decreases. And that's where depression comes in, anxiety comes in, suicidal thoughts come in, when you're separated from God. And the Bible says sin separates us from God and separates us from one another. So the first reward of healthy relationships is indeed value. Let's say God was talking to you and God said to you, what will make you really happy? Oh, what would make me really happy is having a super nice house. Okay, paid for. Whoo, God says, I'll give you a beautiful $3 million house, paid for. Are you happy? Ooh, I'd be happy. Oh, what else? Well, if I had a swimming pool, okay, I'll give you a swimming pool, not only one estate, but I'm going to give you three estates with a swimming pool in each. Whoo, are you happy now? Yeah, but what about my car? I'll give you a Corvette. I'll give you a Ferrari. I'll give you a Bentley in each place. Whoo, are you happy now? Yeah, but I need some money, God. I'll give you 10 million. How's that? Oh, 20. 20 million. Oh man, I am so happy now. You bet. Are you happy? Yes, I am just totally happy. God says, I'll give that to you under one condition. What? I'm going to give those to you, but you're going to live on an island all by yourself for the rest of your life. But you'll have all of that. You're happy now, aren't you? You might be for the first month or two, but after about month three, you'll dangle your feet over the side of one of your pools and you'll say, this stuff is worth nothing if I can't share it with anybody. I'm alone. It's ridiculous. You see, everything in its value will rise or fall based on healthy relationships. You can have all of that, but have toxic relationships and it's not worth anything. You'd give all of that up. You'd run away. God made it that way. And if the sooner we understand that, the better. So the first reward of healthy relationships is God increases and multiplies the value of life. And that's why when the lawyer said, love the Lord your God with everything you got and love your neighbor as yourself, Jesus said, do this and you will live. That's a secret, the key to life itself. The first reward is God multiplies the value of everything you have, or your value is going to be reduced based on healthy relationships. So it behooves us to do everything we can to clean the house to make sure that we maintain that, because it's a part of the greatest commandment. Second half. And if we only get the first half right, 50% on any test, I still give my students an F. The second reward is that when you have healthy relationships, it guarantees God's blessings. Guarantees God's blessings. In fact, in Psalm 133, we find those very words. Let's read it together. It'll come up on the screen. Would you read it nice and loudly with me? Go. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to live together in. It's like the precious oil. For there the Lord commanded the blessing. What is it? Life forever. Would you say those words again with me? For there the Lord. Go. For there the Lord commanded the blessing. Say that again. Commanded the blessings. What is it? Life forever. Did you know that when there's healthy relationships, God stills all of the angels in heaven and says, command. I command a blessing there. No, I don't just offer. No, I don't just suggest. It's like the command of God commands a blessing. Nothing can stop it. When the Lord sees that you and I are working hard in developing a culture of healthy relationships, there God commands a blessing. Isn't that cool? The life is given to that place. When God sees this church and sees us working hard to resolve broken relationships, doing our best, God says, I command a blessing on that place. Oh, that would be so wonderful. God commands the blessings, and there we incur the favor of God. That is his joy, to give his favor to those that are working to have healthy relationships, and that's our culture. Listen carefully. Every family and every church has a culture. It may not be the culture you want, but every family, every church, every organization has a culture. Well, how do you build the right culture? Well, if I just take a plot of soil and I just water it, what's it going to grow? I fertilize it. What's it going to grow? Weeds. Healthy, steroidal weeds. Giant, killer, Godzilla weeds. But if I want an orange orchard, I have to remove all of the stuff that's not orange and just plant that which is. And so I've got to be intentional about that. And the same thing is true with relationships. If you want a healthy culture in your family, you have to intentionally plant it. And you have to remove anything that isn't an orange seed. Anything of weeds you have to take away. So you guard that culture. When you see something that wars against it, then we work with that. That's why this core value is that one of the core values of our church is that we want to build healthy relationships. Let me read it for you. We believe that genuine love and caring relationships are key to every endeavor. Never giving audience to a spirit of complaining, we will instead be courageous in solving every problem in a way that honors God and builds biblical character. We value healthy relationships by protecting the unity of the Spirit in our church. In other words, we've got to pull out weeds and plant oranges. And as you do that in your family, your organization, your church, God says, you know what? I'm going to command, not just suggest, I'm going to command a blessing. Because there's no greater thing that incurs the favor of God than people striving to be diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit. Second reward is it guarantees God's blessings. And let me give you the third reward, and I think this is one of the best. You know what it does? By us loving one another, it draws people closer to God. Did you know that you don't have to be Billy Graham? Just love one another. And when you do, Everything changes. Listen to Jesus' prayer to the Father towards the end of his life. John 17, let's read it together. Would you go? I pray for those who believe in me, us, through your word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us. Why? So that the world may believe that you have sent me. Did you know that through our unity, loving one another, working out problems in a way that honors God and builds biblical character? Did you know that it draws people to God? I remember a man that was fired from his job, and a wonderful Christian guy, and just some political things took place. He wouldn't buy into this ideology, and so he got fired. Well, that was his sustenance, that was his living. And he was afraid to call his wife, wonderful Christian lady. Finally, on the way home, he called her from his cell phone, said, honey, I just got fired. I don't know what to do, I'm so embarrassed. And his wife paused for a second, and she said this to him, honey, you come home and let's show the world how the people of God live during situations just like this. We will trust him still. And I thought, what a wife. You see, it doesn't mean that we are immune from problems. It just means that when we do face them, we will solve them in a biblical way that honors God. And when we love one another and work hard to maintain and keep and encourage healthy relationships, God commands a blessing, and people are drawn to God. His name was Tertullian. He was an ancient historian, like a journalist. And during the time of Nero and Diocletian, those were two emperors in the Roman Empire that were the worst in persecution. They persecuted Christians because, you see, the emperor was supposed to be a demigod, which means half God, half man. That's why when he gave a command, people had to obey. Even if he said, jump off a cliff, they would go off a cliff because he was half God, and they would have some life after death experience. Well, when the Christians said, no, there's only one God, it just incensed the emperors. Like, you what? You don't believe I'm a half God? No, there's only one. Well, they would persecute Christians to get rid of them, kill them, and they would use them for sport. So in the Colosseums, it's called a circus, or like the word circus that we have today, they would take these Christians and throw them into the middle. The stands would be filled with people. The emperor, whether Diocletian or Nero, would put their thumb up or thumb down, and the people would put their thumb down, bring them death. So they would let go a hungry lion from one of the cages, and this huddled mass of Christians in the middle would become sport. This hungry lion would charge, and as Tertullian was writing, he would watch when one of the men from the back of this huddled group would come out in front and stand maybe 10 or 15 feet away from the others and invite to take the mauling of the lion onto himself. And the lion would tear him to pieces. Then the emperor would do this again, this or this, and people would do this and cheer, and he'd let out a second lion. When the lion would come out, another man would come out in front and take the mauling of the lion. And this would be repeated. But as time went on, after the third or fourth lion would be let out, you'll notice that the cheers, the jeers of the crowd began to diminish. And this would go on and on, one sacrificing his life for the others until there was none left but a bloodbath. The people would file slowly out of the Colosseum. And we still have his words today. He would write this, Christians are very unique, but one thing I have noticed, see how they love one another. We have those words today. Later on, the story is told that he himself would become a Christian because of all of this. You see, when there is love in the body of Christ, it draws people to the author of love. One of the best things we can do for our community is to love one another, to maintain healthy relationships. And that's one of the core values of our church. Let's do that. Let's work hard at maintaining what God has given to us, because the rewards will come to us. And when we do that, we start to develop a culture that attracts people to the author of love. Why? Because we're Billy Grahams? No, because we love one another. May it be that people look at us and say, you know, they're a unique group of people, but one thing I've noticed, see how they love one another. That's the people we want to be. Can you say amen to that? Amen, amen, and amen.
You've been listening to a message entitled The Key to Everything by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening. Until next time, remember what Pastor Wayne said.
Listen to Jesus' prayer to the Father towards the end of his life. I pray for those who believe in me, us, through your word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us. Why? So that the world may believe that you have sent me. Did you know that through our unity, loving one another, working out problems in a way that honors God and builds biblical character, it draws people to God?
Now for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.